I was sharing with a pastor friend of mine this past week. Sometimes I struggle with the concept of eternity and the fact that it just keeps going on and on and on. And I start thinking about that, and it's kind of scary for me a little bit. And he was sharing with me, you know, maybe when that is kind of weighing on your mind, that the Lord just wants you to kind of draw close to Him and just spend some time with Him and commune with Him. And I was thinking this morning, as Doug and Sharon sang, I think some of the times I feel most at peace are when we're together as the church family and just singing praises together, and you get that little feeling like, man, I wish that didn't have to end. And I really have confidence when I do get to heaven that I'm going to have this feeling like I don't want this to end. So, but in my finite mind, it just kind of blows me away. Now, the good thing is that we can know that forever is going to be with the Lord. That would really blow us away if we knew the forever was going to be apart from Him, wouldn't it? I mean, to me, that is... Well, that's why I became a Christian, really, because that really scared me to death. But anyway, it's great being together as a church family and just singing praises together. Well, our Venezuela team is back. Isn't that great? And I have my wife back. That's even greater. It was good for me. This last week and a half has been a real learning experience again. And... learned some very practical things about everyday life and how much I appreciate my wife. And I didn't even plan that to rhyme. It just came out that way. But it's good to have her home. And we're leaving this afternoon for a week of vacation. And Pastor Greg's going to have a great time with you all next weekend with this Venezuela report. So look forward to that. We had a good time as a church family last night at the barbecue. That was great. And so it's good to be part of a church family. Let's dig in on marriage again this morning. We've been talking about it the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of leaving father and mother in joining together as a husband and wife team. And then last week, we talked about the truth that God just doesn't call us to commitment to marriage and to the permanence of marriage, but God calls us to oneness in our marriage. That He calls us to make a commitment to grow together as husband and wife. In one unit, two separate people with separate ideas and separate priorities coming together as one team. Now today, we want to look at a little bit of a different aspect. We're actually going to focus some on singleness and the fact that it's okay to not be married. In fact, the Apostle Paul considers it a gift to be single. I read somewhere recently that in Cedar Rapids, this almost astonished me, but I think, if I remember correctly, it's about 46% of Cedar Rapids is single, which just blew me away. And I had that verified this week because I sat through a lecture from a guy from Iowa State Extension who used another figure that said like 54% were married, so that adds up. But it's in there someplace. It's very, very high. And sometimes within the church, and even as parents, we almost try to encourage our children. I have a 42, 43-year-old brother who's single, and I enjoy being married so much, and I used to try to say, you know, man, you need to find yourself a nice woman and get married and settle down, and I've kind of stopped doing that the last few years. And he always said by the age 40 he wanted to either have a wife or a good horse, and I think the horse is going to win. But Paul says it's a gift. Now whether a person is single or married, the point that the Apostle Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 7 is that it requires balance in order to live a life where we exercise devotion to the Lord. Whether we're single or whether we're married, God's best for us is that we walk in a way that's devoted to Him. In the mid-80s, I was up on about the 60th floor of one of the InterFirst Bank buildings in downtown Dallas. And there was another skyscraper coming up right across the street, and I was in one of the side offices looking out the glass of the side of the building, watching these steel workers on the building next door, 60 floors up, just walking around like they're on an 8-foot-wide sidewalk. And they're just on a little steel girder. And a couple of guys were sitting on that girder with their feet dangling over the side drinking coffee 60 floors up. And I don't know if you've been in a building like that before or not, but they're designed so that when it's windy, the building actually goes side to side. And you can feel it when you're up in there. And these guys are just out there walking around like nothing's happening. And I felt like grabbing onto a desk even though I was in the building next door. And we can say, boy, that requires a lot of balance to be up there. And one of the things that happens is in our own Christian lives, we go through life and we kind of feel like we're on an 8-foot sidewalk. And we're just kind of going as the wind carries us through life. In reality, God has called us to a very narrow path. That narrow path begins with our salvation experience. That we can't get to heaven just by doing whatever we want to do, or just by believing whatever we believe. There's only one way to heaven, and that's by placing our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, that He is God, that He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, that He rose again from the dead, proving that He's God. It's a very narrow gate. But once we enter that gate, the Christian life is a narrow path. It's defined for us in the Scriptures. And if we wander off of that path, God brings discipline into our lives to get us back. But He has a very specific path that He wants us to walk. And it's one that calls for great balance in our life, whether we are married or whether we're single. The Apostle Paul brings out that truth in 1 Corinthians 7. Whether we're married or single, God's best for us is to walk in devotion to Him. Now, in the first part of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes the point that he wishes that people would just remain single, just like he is. Because he feels it's the best way to give wholehearted devotion to the Lord. You don't have the responsibilities of needing to meet the needs of your spouse, needing to meet the needs of your children. You can devote all of your energies and your thoughts and your time to the Lord. But Paul also realizes that everybody can't accept that. In verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 7, he says, I say to the unmarried and to widows that it's good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. And then he goes on to say, if you do get married, you need to stay married. Verse 10, but to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord. Meaning that Jesus actually gave him direct revelation about this. Whether that is through the words of Jesus, but he has direct revelation from Jesus on this subject. Not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. If she does leave, let her remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not send his wife away. So Paul is saying it's fine to be single. He prefers it thinks it's the best way to have undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if one marries, then you need to stay married. Either way, whether a person is married or whether they are single, it calls for balance in order for us to exercise devotedness to Jesus Christ. Now, as we come down to verse 25, we find Paul answering some questions that the Corinthians have asked him. And one of the questions that they have evidently asked is, how about the person who has never married before? Should they get married or should they remain single? And Paul starts to answer that in verse 25. Now, concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, meaning Jesus has not given specific direction about this particular question, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. Paul's saying, I'm telling you under the direction of God, under the direction of His Spirit, and I think what I'm going to say here is of the Lord, but God has not directly revealed it to him. He says, I think that it's good, in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Now, in the margin of your Bible, mine translates that in verse 26, present distress. In the margin of my Bible, it also gives an alternate reading, impending distress. I think a lot of biblical scholars feel like there's something on the scene in the very near future that Paul is saying, because of this great time of distress that it's about upon us, it's better just to stay where you are. If you're unmarried, stay unmarried. If you're married, don't try to get out of your marriage. Are you bound to a wife, verse 27? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. And the NIV translates that simply, are you unmarried? Don't try to find a wife. But if you should marry, verse 28, you have not sinned. And if a virgin should marry, she's not sinned, yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Paul is saying, once a person gets married, there is more obligation there than just your obligation to serve the Lord. You also have a family to worry about, to be concerned about. We saw last week, in verses around 33 through 35, that the husband also needs to be concerned how he may please his wife. And the wife also needs to be concerned how she may please her husband. The person who is single doesn't have that responsibility. They can just focus in on the Lord. But if a person chooses to get married, it's okay before the Lord, according to what Paul is writing here. That person that Paul is referring to here that has never been married before, it's okay if they choose to get married. But they're going to experience a more difficult time finding balance in their life. Verse 35 says, and this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemly and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. That's the priority in Paul's mind, that we have undistracted devotion to the Lord. For the person who is married, that's going to become more difficult. Whether we're married or single, it requires balance to find that undistracted devotion to the Lord. In verses 29 through 31, Paul says another reason not to get married is that the Lord's coming back soon. And he says, but this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on both those who have wives should be as though as they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world's passing away. He's saying, whatever you're shedding in your life, don't hang on too tight to anything of this world. He's not saying that a husband should neglect their wife or a wife should neglect her husband. He is saying it requires great balance. Jesus is coming back soon. We need balance to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. that we can exercise undistracted devotion to the Lord, as it says in verse 35. When I was in high school, after youth group on Sunday nights, there was a particular Godfather's pizza place in Omaha that we would go to every Sunday night. And one of the things that we did that I probably should not have done because it pitted out the place, but I'm going to share the illustration because it works good. But youth probably should have permission from your parents before you try this at home. And you've probably all done this, but it's really fun. You take a salt shaker, and you take off the top, and you pour a big mound of salt in the middle of the table. And then you take that salt shaker, and you put it into that pile of salt at an angle, so that the tip of that salt shaker is touching the table, and you have that salt mounded up around it. But that salt shaker is in there at an angle. Then you take out a straw, and you start to slowly blow away the salt from around that salt shaker, just a little bit at a time, just slowly blow it away, until you get to the point where that salt shaker is sitting on that table at an angle, and you can't see any salt around it. There's just like just a few little tiny specks of salt that's holding that salt shaker up. It's really fun. One of the things that the Lord wants us to do is to blow away the extra salt from our lives. All of us, including myself, we have a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be there. Maybe morally neutral things, but it doesn't need to be there. And if we would blow some of it away, we would, in a much greater way, be equipped to walk in undistracted devotion to the Lord. Now, here in this section, Paul has said several things. He said one thing, it's okay to be single. In fact, he calls it a gift in verse 7. I take it that that is the desire of the single person. If that is their gift, they are going to feel good about being single. They have a great opportunity for selfless, undistracted devotion to the Lord. Now, some people are single and they don't want to be single. They would like to be married. But one of the things I think we can take away from this is whether it's by choice or not by choice, the single person is in a position of being able to walk in undistracted devotion to the Lord in a greater way than the married person. The single person, and it's hard for me, in a sense, to put myself in the place of that single person, considering I barely made it 1 week while my wife was away, I need my wife. If I wasn't married, I would be a pitiful mess. But at the same time, I know that God would give me strength and He would enable me and help me through that. The one thing that the Apostle Paul says is that we need to be content in whatever circumstance we're in. And he's trying to bring that truth out here. That we need to be content in the setting in life where God has us right now. Psalm 90 verse 12 talks about the fact that our days are numbered. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16 tells us to redeem the time. And one of the things I want us to think about is how can I blow away the extra salt in my life? How can I sort out what needs to go? And here's some questions that I think we can ask ourselves. Question number one, in thinking through how can I blow away the extra salt? Question number one, will this thing, this action, whatever it is, this part of my life, will this please the Lord? Is it pleasing to the Lord? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 32 says, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And we can take that principle and say, in every aspect of our life, is this part of my life pleasing to God? will it please the Lord? Verse 32. Secondly, if I am married, will this part of my life, is it helping to build oneness in my marriage? Is it having a positive effect in helping my wife and I, my husband and I, grow closer together in oneness? Is this part of my life building oneness in our relationship? Number three, if there are children in your home, does this aspect of my life help to bring up our children in discipline and instruction of the Lord? Ephesians 6:4. Does this part of my life help build up our children? Raise them up in a godly way. And the fourth thing I think we can ask ourselves is how, in doing this, how tightly am I hanging on to the world? Remember up in verse 31, Paul said, "And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away." At least four questions, and there are more, but at least four things we can ask ourselves in blowing away the salt. Will it please the Lord? Does it help to build oneness in my marriage? Is it helping to build into the lives of our children? And is it causing me to hang on too much to the world? Now, Paul has made a strong case here in his mind for why it's a good thing for a person to remain single. But he also says it's okay to get married. And in the end of the chapter, he gives us a couple of examples of people who choose to get married. And basically throughout the chapter, he says that while singleness offers undistracted devotion, we are free to marry. The first example he gives us is in verses 36 through 38 of 1 Corinthians 7. And these verses are greatly debated. I wrote about a 20-page single space paper in seminary on these three verses. And even some of your Bible translations will understand these differently. If you have a New International Version, it translates these verses very differently from a New American Standard Bible. And the reason being is the Greek text does not specifically tell us who these verses, to whom they're referring. It doesn't give us the referent. In other words, all the Greek text says, if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin, that's all it says, if she should be of full age, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes, he does not sin, let her marry. The New American Standard takes these verses to be referring to a father and his daughter. If you have a New International Version, it understands these verses to talk about a couple who are engaged. I can never say that right. The fiancé, and I think one has a 1E and one has 2, if it's the man or the woman, I'm not sure on that, but it's French. You know what I mean, the fiancé and his fiancé. So the NIV looks at it as two people that are engaged. The New American Standard is talking about a father and his daughter. In the NASB, which I'm reading from, it says, if any man thinks that he's acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she should be of full age, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this or is in his own heart to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Now, in understanding this in a biblical context, in its historical setting, the father over that daughter had ultimate control. And if that father chose to not allow his daughter to marry, he had that choice. In my understanding of this passage, I prefer the New American Standard translation here, with the idea in verse 36, when it says that the man thinks that he's acting unbecomingly, it is not talking about some unseemly thing between a father and daughter. He's acting unbecomingly or dishonorably toward his daughter by not allowing her to marry when she wants to marry. Now, this is hotly debated. There's a whole other school, probably some of the newer Bible teachers, that believe that it's talking about a man and a woman who are engaged, and they are having a hard time wanting to wait to consummate their marriage, but they're feeling like they should wait because it's better to be single than married, and so Paul says, just get married. Whatever way you go with it, the point is, it's okay for them to get married. The second scenario is talking about a spouse, a wife, who loses her husband by death. Verse 39, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. In other words, he needs to be a Christian. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God. He's sharing his opinion, but he's saying, I believe I'm being directed by the Spirit in this. I think she's better off if she stays single. But if she wants to get married, that's okay, but she needs to marry a Christian. When I was in college, my freshman year, we had this guy named Ken who came onto campus. Ken was a unique man. He decided that he wanted to live his life in complete devotion to Jesus Christ. And he wanted to blow away everything in his life that had nothing to do with Christ. So, for example, he took all of his clothes, packed them up in a box, and sent them home. Just kept one set of clothes. That's it. Every day he came home, put on a bathrobe, took his outfit, washed it, and then the next day put on the same thing. It's kind of like my sons, except they don't wash them every day. They'd be happy if they just had one set of clothes. So that's what this guy did. He took everything, like he had no pictures, and he took everything and packed it up, sent it off. He just would eat vegetables and bread for supper. I mean, he wouldn't have any textbooks. He just wanted a Bible. That's it. Now, all of us here, including myself, thought, you know, he's not exercising a whole lot of balance there. He had a good heart, and he wanted to be completely devoted to the Lord. But God calls us to walk with balance. What one man may be able to do, another man may not be able to do. That's why each of us have to assess this. But it's important for us to take time to assess it. Where is the extra salt in my life that needs to get blown away? Now, in these last verses, Paul said, it's okay to get married. And a lot of us choose to get married, and it makes it a little more difficult to walk in undistracted devotion, but it's possible for us, if we blow away some of the other non-essentials in our lives, to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. It's okay to get married. It's okay for the widow if she wants to remarry. But Paul made it very clear that it has to be only in the Lord. And I want to camp on that just for a second, because I think it's important for us to remember that, that in order for oneness to have a potential in a marriage, both people have to have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They both have to be Christians. It is impossible for a Christian and a non-Christian to experience God's design oneness in their marriage. Both have to be Christians in order to experience God's best. And I firmly believe if we're a parent, we do not wait till our children are 18 and 20 years old to start talking about this. We talk about it around our supper table very often. And my children are going into 6th, 5th, and 2nd grade. And I'll say, guys, what are you going to look for when you get married? What are you going to look for in a spouse? And they know, because we do this all the time, that the first thing that better come out of their mouth, she needs to be a Christian. And then we get a variety of other things, like she needs to be a good cook and everything. So, but we camp on that. And we'll talk about what's the purpose of dating. And I had this conversation with Grant recently, and Grant said, well, it's to find out who I'm supposed to marry, who I'm going to marry. And I said, okay, if that's the purpose of dating, to find out who you're going to marry, when do you think you should start? And he said, well, probably when I'm in college sometime. I said, yes, Grant. I'm not sure that perspective is going to stay there in his mind, but... But we've got to be continuing to teach our children on how important it is to marry a young woman or a young man who has Jesus Christ in their life. It's vital in oneness in marriage. It's God's will. This isn't optional. This isn't something like, well, whatever we decide. God gives us clear direction in His Word that a Christian is supposed to marry another Christian. Paul's main point in this section is whether we're married or single, God wants us to walk in devotion. What's keeping us from that? Just because a person's single doesn't mean they walk in devotion. Just because a person is married does not mean that they're not walking in devotion. Both require balance. What we're faced with is, am I willing to blow away the salt? Am I willing to look in areas of my life and say things like, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this promoting oneness in my relationship with my spouse? Is this building into the lives of my children, if I have children? Helping me to raise them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord? Is this hanging on too tight to the world? Blowing away the extra salt so that we can walk, as Paul put it here in verse 35, in undistracted devotion to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this passage. And I thank You that You have shown us in Your Word that it's okay to be single. It's okay to be married. What You are seeking is devotion to You. And I pray for each of us here this morning that we would have a heart that's willing to say, God, please blow away from my life what doesn't need to be there. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.